Neil Patrick Harris is such a dear friend. Oh, wait, I don't know him at all, but like a lot of us, I feel like I do. From the childhood doctor, Doogie Howser, to Barney Stinson and How I Met Your Mother, to possibly everyone's favorite award show host, and now author of the popular young adult series, The Magic Misfits, about a ragtag gang of self-described outsider kids who bond over their love of magic and, of course, fight the villains trying to take over the otherwise idyllic resort town where they live. But in between escapades, we, the reader, get magic lessons. Yes, for instance, we finally learn how a magician knows which card you picked from the pack. Because Neil Patrick Harris is like a pro. The third book in his series is titled The Magic Misfits, The Minor Third. And Neil Patrick Harris, when we read it, it sounds like you, your voice, you having a blast with this gang of offbeat kids. What is this about besides your love of magic?
Well, my path has led me in very interesting and disparate ways in my career and in my life.
You think?
And I've gotten to act on stage and act on television and act in films. I've gotten to direct magic shows. I've gotten to host shows. I've gotten to have children. And reading and literacy and literature and the tactile book has always been something that's been really important to me growing up, and as a parent even more so. So I think because I have such weird likes that kind of run all over the place, putting together a middle grade fiction series was exactly where my brain often sits. I had just finished and was doing A Series of Unfortunate Events, Daniel Handler's series that he penned as Lemony Snicket. And I recognized his ability to not only tell a very thrilling story, but to be able to impart interesting sentence structure and a sense of humor and a vocabulary. So there was some education involved. And so this is sort of my take on that. I know magic. I live in a world hoping that it's immersive theater and that it's David Fincher's The Game, and I can somehow someone's going to pull me aside and say, quick, we need your help. You have to unlock this door using this combination, and there's a secret staircase, and inside will be an envelope, and it'll be marked, and more instructions to come. Like, that's how I would love my life to live. And so this is kind of the my version of that for intelligent middle-grade kids.
Well, who knew? We just see you as walking around looking pleasant. But inside your head, all of this is going on and you're going to leap in and save the day. And I just, you know, the kids are, you know, a diverse group. There's a girl in a wheelchair. Someone's African-American. Someone grew up in a broken home, lives with his cousin who has two dads. You're celebrating possibility and reality for a lot of kids.
And while that's intentional, for those that haven't read the first two books, it's not something that I wanted to do and have it be the moral of the story.
Right.
In fact, what I think is nice about this reading level is that you can teach, and you're teaching a group who are very anxious to be individuals and also to fit in.
Yeah.
Right? So it's a great duality. It's a complicated one because you don't want to be singled out because it's embarrassing because you want to fit in, but you don't want to just be one of many because you're special and unique and you want to stand out.
Right.
And so magic is a great opportunity to teach a hobby that sort of is that.
Yeah.
Magic by design is not the football player and group sports. It's a little more introspective. You have to practice and you have to study it, and then you get to perform it. It's a little potentially embarrassing to be performing in front of other people, but then you have potentially magical skills that people are impressed by.
Yeah.
And so if you can do that and also have the individual dynamics be very unique in their own way, but all of that is sort of couched in a sense of normalcy. These are the facts. Mm-hmm. We're not going to sit too deep in the fact that Layla, the escape artist girl, is adopted. We learn about her adoption and how she came to be through the plot of the story, but it's not a story about adoption and what it means to have not had birth parents. I did a thing, since it's four books and there's four suits of a deck, and I love magic, each book looks like a playing card if you look at it with the jacket on. And so the first book involves diamonds because the protagonist, Carter, meets this group in this town called Mineral Wells, and there's a giant diamond that's on display, and a carnival boss, Bibi Basso, is trying to steal said diamond. And the second book and the second suit is about clubs, and so it involves Layla, who's an escape artist, lives with Mr. Vernon, the magic shop owner, and his husband, the other Mr. Vernon, and they learn that there's a larger club that Mr. Vernon was once a part of called the Emerald Ring. So the third book that's just coming out is based on hearts. And Theo Steinmeier is a violinist and a prodigious one at that. He can also use his violin bow to make things levitate.
Yes.
And so he's having to follow his heart now in this book and figure out where his passions lie.
Well, how much fun. And also, how much magic. So let's just do one.
Okay.
So if you have a pack of cards, you memorize the card on the bottom. You call that the key card?
Key card principle, sure.
And then you split the pack, still knowing where the one on the bottom is that you know. You fan the pack out. And would you tell us how to do this? You fan the pack out and someone picks a card?
Well, I will say this. As a magician, longtime member of magical groups, the Academy of Magical Arts.
President of the Academy of Magical Arts.
President of where the Magic Castle is for 3 years. I would be remiss to, on national public radio, expose how a magic trick is accomplished.
Oh.
But I will say that there are techniques, and your listeners will probably have already sort of figured out what a key card principle would be, where you can you don't have to necessarily know what, say, the top card of the deck is. If you may have taken a peek at the bottom card and then, say, were to cut the deck, you might be able to ascertain what the card either below it or above it could potentially be.
Exactly. That is brilliant. And
now, see, but here's the thing about magic, right?
What?
So that's the explanation of the trick. But if someone were to do a trick and just say that, take a card, put it on the top of the deck, I'm going to cut the cards and I'm going to flip it over and fan through them. Was this your card? It's not an incredibly impressive trick. So part of what is fun about magic is the creation of the effect around that pretty simple idea.
I love the one about how to levitate a piece of bread. Forks are involved, I'll just say that. Well, how did you get into this?
I grew up in a small town in New Mexico, and I grew up in a time when there wasn't a lot to do but watch TV, and I grew up at a time when Doug Henning was still doing yearly magic specials, and David Copperfield would make the Statue of Liberty disappear. He would walk through the Great Wall of China. He would make an Orient Express train car that's surrounded by people holding hands and covered with a cloth, levitate, and then vanish. And I was riveted to the TV, but I didn't quite know how to do it. I would go to the library, and I would get books and read them and learn how to do card tricks and things. But the proper packet tricks and things that use props, I didn't quite understand until I got to Albuquerque and there was a magic shop called Fool's Paradise. And I was just smitten. I got to save up my allowance and I could make choices. And then on the ride home, I would open up the instructions, and that's the only way you can learn the secret. The principles behind it are psychological in many ways and required persistence, perseverance, practice. And I just think it's a great variety art to not lose. And so I go out of my way to produce, promote, and attend and shine the spotlight onto magic and magicians.
And share it in your book. So now we all know how you can make a card rise in the palm of your hand. And I'm telling you, that's cheating. I'm not going to give away what it was. But I'm sure you've been asked about this. I mean, acting is magic. And acting is make-believe.
There's a big connection between magic and acting. And I think similarly, there's magic in a lot of the things that we just do in our day-to-day interactions. Because if you think about it, when you're watching a magician perform a trick, he's explaining the facts of what's happening. Pick a card. You're going to put it in the deck. I'll shuffle the deck. The card is lost in the deck. I'm going to make it appear in an interesting way. But those are facts that he's just explaining to you. Those may not be the actual facts, right? And so in acting, there are facts of a script, but you're able to act around it and fill it in. There are facts of things that happen, and it's our jobs as humans to process what those facts mean to you and embellish upon it.
That is actor, singer, producer, writer, father, husband, magician, Neil Patrick Harris. The latest
apparent
book,
plate spinner.
Oh, yes. How does he do it all? The latest book in his young adult Magic Misfits series is The Minor Third. Neil, thank you so much.
Thank you for having me.
So you see, the card the person sees goes on the top of the deck. You split the deck, and now the key card that you know is next to it, it's in the book.